this week. When I was in school, I always hated these kind of tests. And I don't know if you can quite read it, but it's these direction tests. And they give you these directions, and they say, you know, you read the very first things, you know, read through all the numbered steps below you begin, read the directions carefully, and do exactly as they say. And so then you get going, and you read all the directions. And so step number one, you use the back of the paper, and then you write your name in the middle of the paper, and you go through all of this. And then you realize that when you get to step 11, you weren't supposed to do any of those steps because it said read all the directions first and then put your pencil down and wait. I hated those steps. I remember there was at least once or twice that, you know, they got me on that. The teacher did the importance of following directions, because how my mind works, which is probably similar to a lot of your guys' minds, is we get so focused on going. We get so, you know, we're not really focused on step one. We're doing step two. We're doing step three. We're doing step four. We're moving so many moves ahead and following so many directions ahead of time that we forget to actually follow the number one direction, the first direction that said, listen, you don't have to do all that other stuff. And I think at times, you know, it's kind of symbolic. It's kind of how we operate in our lives a little bit. We get going with the things in our lives, and we get moving in such a direction. Maybe it's the busyness in our lives. Maybe it's the things that are going on. Maybe it's the obstacles that are in our way. But we struggle to follow simple steps in step number one when it comes to how we're going to live our lives spiritually, and how we're going to live our lives in putting the important things first and the other things secondary. You see, oftentimes I think we get bogged down by the things in our lives that we forget to seek Him first. You see, and so when all else fails, when we get to the point in our lives when things aren't going like we want them to go, or we're being bogged down by the emotional baggage in our lives, or we're struggling with the various things that are going on in our lives, or we get so incredibly busy, and we wonder why our relationships fail, and we wonder why we're not happy in life, and we wonder why all these things are going on, that's when we probably should realize that perhaps we're not following the directions correctly. So today's message, when all else fails, follow the directions. When all else fails, follow the directions. I search YouTube for appropriate videos of people who failed to follow directions and how miserable it was. And I found lots of videos. I mean, you can go Google it. There was lots of edits that needed to take place with various language and all that kind of stuff that I couldn't show you, but that's what I wanted to show you, because you probably have been there. You've tried to put together something, and maybe you were successful at it. You didn't need the directions to put it together, and you were able to do it, but maybe you got to a certain point, and you're like, why is this not working? And you failed to kind of follow the directions. You forgot step two, then you were already on step eight, and you failed. I mean, it's miserable. We could probably show lots of pictures of people trying to put cribs together and all that kind of stuff, but you can kind of relate to that. And that is oftentimes, I think, how we operate when it comes to our lives. We operate in ways where we don't necessarily follow the directions. And so, first things first. So something that has been bothering me, and something that I've been thinking about a lot, especially when it comes to students and teenagers, and even I would say that this is probably prevalent in some of your lives, is this question. Why is it so common for spiritual matters to be completely secondary in our lives? How come it's so hard for us to put spiritual things at a priority in our lives? Why is it that in parents, if you have students and you have teenagers that are being raised in Generation Z, this is a very common thing that I see all the time. But I think it's common because it's common in our lives as well. Why is it that we put spiritual matters secondary in our lives? Because the Bible is very clear. You know, it says in Matthew 6:33, it says this: seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, it doesn't say seek Him second, seek Him third, seek Him when you have time, seek Him when you're not worrying, seek Him when you don't have fear, seek Him after you put the kids to bed. It doesn't say any of that stuff. It says seek Him first. So we need to work on in our lives of putting first things first. So the question that, again, I have is, why in our lives, if we know that we're supposed to put God first, why in our lives is He so secondary? Why in our lives are the spiritual things secondary in our lives? You see, there's warning signs throughout all our things in our lives. For example, those of you that, you know, have an automobile, a car, oftentimes, or when something is wrong with your car, the lights come on, the check engine light comes on, the oil light comes on, the battery light, something comes on. And sometimes it's a pretty serious thing. Sometimes it's like, hey, your engine's about to die and you're going to need a new car. Other times it's like, hey, you didn't put the gas cap on tight enough. You know, but there's a warning sign that something's going on in your life. There's a warning going on in the car. Likewise, a couple weeks ago, my air conditioner was going out, and it was making these funny noises. Right? That's a warning sign that said, hey, something's wrong. It was making noises that it shouldn't have been making, and it was coming on and not kind of kicking on and all that kind of stuff. So we were blessed, and we got to get a brand new air conditioner and heating unit and all that. Wasn't that just so much fun a couple weeks ago? But you see, there was warning signs that the it was making noises, your car. So today, we're going to go through a spiritual diagnostic test. We're going to figure out whether or not in our lives, first things are first, whether God is first in our lives. So let's kind of go through these one at a time. This might be hard for you to read, but here we go. Number one, spiritual matters take precedence over your preferences. Meaning that if you are seeking God first in your life, your spiritual matters will take precedence over your preferences. A lot of times we have lots of preferences in our lives, like we want to sleep in instead of go to church. We want to be involved in this stuff and say yes to all these things, but we don't want to say yes to spiritual things. And so our preferences oftentimes take precedences over spiritual matters. And if this is something that's kind of common in your life, then you need to reevaluate. That's a warning sign that maybe you're not seeking God first. Number two, spiritual fruit is flourishing from your life. Growth has been evident. Meaning this, if you are connected to God and you are growing in your relationship, you are seeking Him first, you're going to bear fruit. The Bible is clear. Jesus teaches this. You're going to know you're my disciples by your love. You know, if we're connected to the Father, we're going to bear fruit. There's going to be fruit in our lives. And one of the things that's so important to understand, especially in like church world, we talk about, oh, we need to grow as a church, or we need to grow and we need to get better. Absolutely. But the thing that we're not realizing and thinking about is, healthy things grow. If you are focused on being healthy, you're going to grow. You feed your kids right, as they grow up, they're going to grow. And they're going to get big and strong, and that's how it works. Healthy things grow. That's the natural law of organisms, organizations, and so on and so forth. Healthy things grow. So if you are being healthy and you are seeking God first, then you're going to grow and produce fruit. It's a pretty simple equation. For those of you that are getting ready to go back to school and love math and all that kind of stuff. But number three, giving is unquestionable. And this sometimes is the hardest. Seeking God means our giving is unquestionable. Meaning we're not worried about giving because we know that God's going to supply all our needs. We understand that we're just surrendering and we're just giving back His material things. And so we're giving as a result is unquestionable because we're seeking God and we know that everything will be taken care of. We know that He will supply our needs, and we understand that we are not ruled by our material things. You see, if that's a struggle for you, then perhaps you're not seeking God in that area. So, number four, selflessly serving in areas of spiritual matters. Meaning this, you're given of your time. You are looking for areas that you can selflessly give of your time, and that you can serve and be involved in. You know, maybe it's as simple things as mowing the grass outside. Maybe it's things as cleaning the shed. Maybe it's other things, working with youth, working with teenagers, working with kids, leading a Bible study. There are ways in which you can selflessly give of your time. Using your influence, success, and talents to further the kingdom. Meaning, kind of what we talked about last week. Those of you that were here last week, we talked about how it's important that we impact other people. And we have a chance to influence and to go out into the world and be a light and, you know, show Jesus by our actions and by our love, kind of thing, is what we talked about last week. And the same thing is true. This one kind of springs forward on that. Spiritual diagnostic, if you're not seeking God first, then you're not using your influence, success, and talents to further the kingdom of God. You're focused on the here, and you're focused on the now. Next, emotional baggage in your life is replaced with trust in the Savior. So we live in a world that's full of fear. You turn on the news, and it's all about fear. We want to scare you about the economy. We want to scare you about this war. We want to scare you about North Korea. We want to scare you about Iran. We want to scare you about all these things. Because, listen, they understand that we are captivated. We are a nation that is focused on fear. And we're also a nation that's focused on anxiety and worry. And so all this emotional baggage comes up into our lives, and it distracts us from seeking God because we're so focused on our issues and so focused on our problems and so focused on those things that we forget that if we're seeking God first, then we'll be trusting Him through all of that stuff. Through our worry, through our pain, through our fear, through our anxiety, all of that stuff. And last, seeking God first, it's going to be reflected in how you use your time. Your time is going to be reflected appropriately to spiritual matters. How often are you spending some time just connecting with your Savior? How often do you say a prayer? How often do you spend some time seeking God's face by reading Scripture and just kind of taking a break from your everyday, normal routine of life, the craziness and the chaos, and spending 5, 10, 15, an hour of praying, reading, seeking His face, and just pausing in His presence. Because your time is going to be reflected on more than not your seeking Him first. These are just some steps that listen, there might be one or two, and chances are, since we're none of us are perfect, there's several of those things that can be applied to my life, to your life, and how we can seek God a little bit more when it comes to the things in our lives. Matthew chapter 6 is where I want to spend some time today. It's a lot of scripture, but it's a great, great chapter. So let's read Matthew chapter 6. Let's do something different today. This is going to be good. This is going to be fun. Let's stand up for the reading of God's Word. Out of reverence and respect, I'm serious. Let's stand up in the reading of God's Word, okay? Out of reverence and respect. 6:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Father, as we look at your word a little bit more, as we think about some of the principles in which you were teaching through this passage of Scripture, would you open our hearts? Would you help us as we begin to evaluate and diagnose some of the things that are in our lives? Would you help us to realize the areas in our lives that we do not see you? And would you help us to be disciplined and challenged enough to be obedient to you in those areas and to turn those areas of our lives over to you? In your name we pray. Amen. Seeking God first means this. Your motives are pure. You see, what I like about that first kind of part of Scripture that we first read is it says, do not store up for yourself treasures on heaven where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourself treasures in heaven. Now listen, this is sometimes people are like, so this means you can't be saving money. This means that you shouldn't have a savings account. This means that you shouldn't be crying for emergencies. No, that's not what that means at all. It means where is your focus and where is your devotion? Because what happens so many times in our life is we focus on the gifts in our lives and not the giver. And when our transition and our seeking is away from the giver, when we're not focused on the giver who's given us these gifts, then our heart is in the wrong place. We're not seeking who we should be seeking. Think about this for a second. When you get to watch your kids open up presents, so think back to those days when you got to watch some young children open up presents in your lives. You know, there is some joy in your life when you get to know that you provided a great gift for them. You know that they are going to be ultimately excited for what they're about to open, and they're so excited for this gift. You know, and kids, what are they focused on? Kids are focused on the gift. But as you get older, that kid who was so focused on the gift soon becomes the giver. And you understand that there is some joy when it comes to giving gifts. When it comes to being able to give things to other people, there is some joy when you get to watch that. You know, that's how your life grows and changes a little bit from as you mature and as helping things grow kind of thing. And so I wonder if in our lives, so many times, we're focused on all the gifts and all the things in our lives that our focus isn't where it needs to be. So oftentimes in our lives, we realize that we just collect things because for some reason in our lives, we're not happy. We don't know, we think the next boat will buy something. We think the next car will be great. A bigger house will fix the void that's in our lives. And every time that we try to do that, and every time we try to fill that void with something other than seeking God first, we're going to be left completely and utterly disappointed because it's not going to fill the void. Now, some of that stuff's going to be fun. Don't get me wrong. I mean, have you ever seen anybody on a boat not have fun? I mean, they're all having fun, right? So don't take that the wrong way. Have fun. Enjoy that stuff. Enjoy the things which God has given you. But don't be so focused on the gifts that you forget about the giver. And realize that this world isn't your home. That you are created for way much more than just simply here. So focus on, make sure that your motives are pure when it comes to seeking God. Seeking God, your motives will be pure in what you're trying to do next. Seeking God first means you're mission focused. That you are mission focused. The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So think about this for a second. You see, your eyes are like the gateway to what you see, to making sure that you are mission-focused. Again, this world isn't your home. You are not here. You are going to spend so much more time in eternity than you're going to spend here. But yet our focus on all the things in our lives from time to time is all on the small, minute, little time that we're actually going to be here on this earth. I mean, I wish that I could illustrate how big eternity is compared to how our life is, but it's just unfathomable to explain. I mean, I want you to just proportionately, just imagine how long eternity is. But in our lives, we are so focused on here and being in this world that we forget and we realize that we are living for something bigger than ourselves. We are living for something that's longer and bigger. And eternity is where our focus needs to ultimately be. So the question we have is, what is valuable in eternity and what is valuable now? Oftentimes, we seek things that are valuable. We think things are valuable now, when ultimately in eternity, they don't matter. Oftentimes, we have disagreements and discussions about things in relationship conflicts, and we begin to be hurt by some of those things that happen. And ultimately, in 5 minutes, or in 5 hours, or in 5 weeks, those things might not even matter. That's how quickly life changes. But we still focus on how hurt we are at this very moment, and how hurt we are there by this conversation, and we're struggling with that, and all our focus goes with that. But in the long run, what does it matter when it comes to eternity? What are you doing to store up treasures in heaven? What are you doing in order to make sure that your eternity and the eternity of those around you are more of a focus than your here and now? Again, listen, don't take this the wrong way. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to take the things in which God has given you and use those to have fun. Because those are blessings from God. We live in a country that's full of prosperity and full of blessings. And so take advantage and realize that those are blessings from God, absolutely. But don't let that be your focus. Focus on something bigger than yourselves. Focus on eternity. Seeking God first means you master the material.
Further, if we go down in that passage a little bit, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so kind of along the same lines, you know, you have to master the material in your lives.
You have to realize that God will supply all your needs. Well, regardless of where you're at, your furnace goes out. Listen, if you are, if you, you make the right step when it comes to your finances, when you are giving and being blessed, you are going to be able to provide it and be able to do it. No one wants to buy a new air conditioner. No one wants to buy a new car. No one wants to do that stuff. No one's like, oh, I can't wait today to go buy this, because they don't want to spend that much money on that kind of stuff. We get that. That's how we are, and that's okay. But you understand that you can get to a point in your life where you're not controlled by your money. You're not controlled by what you don't have. You're not controlled by those things. It's not about accumulating every last dollar. It's about how you can be generous, because you realize that God will supply all your needs. And when God says, listen, give 10%, that's not a problem, because you understand that you can give 12%, you can give 14%, and you can give and be generous with your resources and be generous with your money, because that is what oftentimes has a grip on us. You know, greed has a grip on us. And if you want to break through on the greed, you counteract it by being generous and making sure that you're not focused on accumulating that stuff. Realize that God will supply all of your needs. You see, there's lots of people in this world that are rich, but they're unhappy. They don't have peace. There's lots of people that are full of prosperity, but they have no peace. There's lots of people in this world that have a lot of status, and they're famous, and all that kind of stuff, but they have no satisfaction. You see, what's so awesome is this is what Jesus is telling us. Listen, seek first, and all that stuff comes. You'll have peace. You'll have satisfaction. You may not have the nicest car. You may not have all of this stuff that the world says is valuable, but what you're going to have is you're going to have peace. You're going to have hope. You're going to have joy. You're going to have love. You're going to have all of this stuff, which is way more valuable than the material things in which we oftentimes seek after in our lives. Last, seeking God first means you master your emotions. And so Jesus kind of taught us a little bit. He was preaching there for a little bit. And then he does this therefore thing. Therefore, I tell you this. Therefore. So it means all that stuff that was important, because I want to tell you this now. Therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? You see, you need to master your emotions. And what I love about this scripture, and I remember I preached this before, this at a different level, but one of the things I love about this portion of scripture is, like, Jesus is talking, he's like, don't worry about this, don't worry about this. And you're thinking, but Jesus, I got a mortgage payment. Jesus, my kids are going down the wrong path. Jesus, you don't understand. I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table. Jesus, do you realize? And Jesus is like, don't worry about it. And then he says this. He's like, look at the birds. Look at the birds. You're like, Jesus, do you not understand what's going on in my life? Do you not understand that my kids are going down the wrong path? Do you not understand that my job is in question? If I don't have a job, then I don't have this. And if we don't have this, then where are we going to live? And what are we going to do? Jesus, and you're telling me, and Jesus goes on and says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Now look at the sparrows. Look at all that stuff. Aren't they taken care of? And that's what Jesus does. He's like, he's listen, shift your devotion. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Look at the birds. They don't worry about that stuff. Every day they eat. Every day their stuff is taken care of. Every day, you can have clothes. You can have all that stuff. Don't worry about that stuff. Don't live in a world where your life is full of emotional baggage of fear and anxiety and anger. You don't have to live there. And the antidote and how we fix that, and Jesus is saying this, shift your devotion. Shift your devotion. Move from where you're at and shift your devotion to complete and utter trust in Jesus. Now listen, I want to be very, very, very cautious here for a second. And I'm not saying that all the answers that you shouldn't have, you shouldn't explore medical treatment or other things when it comes to your anxiety. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all, because those stuff is real and those emotions are real, and you need to. But can we shift our devotion a little bit? Can we wonder if we wonder why things in our marriages aren't going the way that we should be, or things that are going in our families, and we wonder why our kids are acting the way that they are acting? Is it possible that we're not modeling and we're not teaching and we're not moving people in the right direction of seeking God first, of shifting their devotion from worry, fear, anxiety, pride, whatever the emotion is that they're consumed with? We're not shifting that to help them to focus more on seeking Him first. Because again, too often in our lives, spiritual things become secondary. Too often time, it just becomes something, we'll do it when we have time. We'll go and help out at the church if we have time. We'll help out and we'll read our Bible if we're not too tired at night. I'll spend some time praying, when I tell somebody I'll pray for them. And so we don't put the spiritual things first in our lives. And we get so consumed by our emotions that we feel like we're in this dark, dark path. And the insecurities raise, our pride's high, fear, worry, whatever it is, it's your emotion that you have that you're struggling with. Jesus is just saying, listen, seek me first. Seek me first. Shift your trust from here to there. Because your emotions that are in your lives are where you trust God the least. The emotions that are prevalent in your life are where you trust God the least. The emotions that are present, the emotions that are present and strong, have a strong hold on you, are where you trust God the least. If you remember one thing about what I said besides seeking God here today, any time that your process begins with Jesus at the center, it will lead to disappointment. Anytime that you try to build a marriage of strong, but He's not the center of it, it's going to lead to disappointment. Anytime that you try to do things in your life without Jesus as the center, it's not going to bring the satisfaction and the joy and the peace that you're seeking and that you're looking for. So seek Him first, always. When all else fails, when you're not happy about where your life is, and you're concerned about where your life is, seek Him first. Seek Him first. And realize that there's times in your life where you're going to have to say no to some good things, so you can say yes to other things that are more important. There's times in your lives that things are going to happen and you're going to have choices that you're going to have to make. And if you say yes to this, it means you're going to be saying no to something else. And so you need to be very, very, very careful. This illustrated in my family this summer. So Jackson, so right around junior camp time, he got asked if he wanted to play on the flag soccer team, which is pretty cool. He can go and play on soccer, right? I'm like, oh, you're so good, you like soccer. But, and then we started to look at the schedule that was already there, and thinking about, there's a couple more weekends that he'll be gone. There's a few more weeks, there's all this practice. And then in the fall, it's not a big deal. But Jackson, his favorite sport for him is baseball. And so, but there's going to be a huge conflict between soccer and baseball when it comes to the spring. And so we debated, because this was a great opportunity for him. He was going to help develop the skills. He'd grow. He'd get better. He'd play different competition. It would be better for him in the long run for his soccer. Then we started thinking about all the things in his life, all the things that were already in his busy schedule, already that things that he says yes to, and all those things. And so we I sat down and talked to him about some of the stuff. This has to be a little bit of your choice here, but we're really worried about this aspect. And he came to the conclusion, he's like, you know what? He's like, yeah, we're already really busy with all that stuff, and we need to make sure that, so I'm going to say no to this, and he's just going to play, rec league soccer, which is fine, which is great. But that it took us realizing, we had to think about it, because saying yes to it, that would have been a good thing. It might have been a good thing, but it meant we were saying no to something else. And then we were saying no to something else. And the same thing is true in our lives. So oftentimes we say yes to all the things that might not be quite as important in our lives, but then we say no to the spiritual things. And so we need to reverse that. We need to be saying yes to Jesus and no to the things that are secondary. Would you bow your heads with me for a second? I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know where the area is that touched base with you a little bit today, that said, listen, I need to kind of work on that a little bit. I know that this is an area in my life that I'm not seeking Him first. Would you spend a moment in reflection? Would you spend a moment just kind of thinking about that. What if the Holy Spirit revealing something to you? This is something I need to do. This is where I need to shift my devotion. This is where I need to seek Him first. Would you spend a moment thinking about that thing that's in your life? Would you spend a moment in confession? Maybe you realize that that thing or those things shouldn't take priority in your life. And they do. Spend a moment repenting and confessing. Father, I know that there are many here, including myself, that don't always seek You first. We try to rely on our own abilities and our own strengths to get us through things that we know that it'd be a lot simpler and a lot easier if we just allowed You to lead us through. Forgive us and help us to leave here seeking You first.